is Miki Kashtan, and this is the Conflict Hotline. Welcome back. Today in the studio with me are Siobhan. Welcome to the Conflict Hotline. I hope you enjoy yourself. And Sigal, who is back after some time of not being with us. And together we're going to play with situations from our experience and from callers. Such as this one that we call It's Un-American. Siobhan is going to play Caroline, and Sigal is going to play Sylvia. And both of them are in a bar watching TV. Watch what happens.
I can't believe what Obama is doing. It's like he's grabbed the nation with his fist and decided what's good for all of us. It's totally un-American. It's totally, this healthcare thing, man, it's totally, don't you think?
You know, Sylvia, I actually can't believe that you're saying that. I can't believe that you could possibly think that every single American person doesn't deserve universal healthcare. I'm shocked,
Universal health, the government paying for our health care? It's totally ridiculous. People need to work hard and pay for their own health care.
But don't you realize how people do it in Europe? People, every single country in Europe has free health care for everybody?
That means that some people work hard and pay for other people who are lazy.
That's not what it means. It means that every single person in Europe has a right and has automatic...
Thank you. This could go on like this for a long time. I don't think it's going anywhere.
I think if I kept going, she could understand me.
Maybe. We'll come back to talk about that later. The purpose of this program is to support you in finding ways of connecting across differences such as these or the more mundane differences in your daily life. It's an all-volunteer effort. And many of us are associated with Bay Area Nonviolent Communication. And if you want to participate in the show and bring us a situation from your life, please call 510-848-5483. And you can call with a variety of situations, such as...
If you're having a dilemma with your partner, or if you're having some challenges with your children.
It could be a conflict you're having with a neighbor or with a coworker.
Or it could even be a situation that you have inside yourself, like a decision that you're trying to make or some kind of a charge or an upset that you're trying to work out inside yourself. Whatever it is, give us a call. Number again is 510-848-5483. We're going to go back to the situation that we started with. I wanted to say that the purpose of the call today is to focus on these hot topics of where there is political differences and really want to kind of like highlight how much we use our energy to try to convince people when we don't have an agreement or when we don't understand each other. And how much different these situations could be if we focused instead on mutual understanding and forming connection and mutual respect, regardless of positions. So we're going to show that in a variety of ways with a variety of conflicts. And let's go back to this one. So this is again Siobhan playing Caroline and Sigal playing
Sylvia.
And you were saying before that you thought if you kept on talking, eventually she would get it.
Yes, I mean, she'd have to get it. It's so ridiculous.
Okay. And let me ask you, how often in your life have you been open to hearing from someone who says that your opinion is ridiculous?
Oh, I'm not open to that at all.
Okay. Why do you think she would be?
Because I know that I'm right.
Uh-huh.
And that she's wrong. Although I don't agree with her opinion, not that she's wrong.
You don't agree with her opinion, and yet you're using strategies that from your experience you know don't really work to create an openness to hearing what you have to say.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Okay, just hold on to that for a moment while I check here with Sylvia. And what about you? What do you imagine will happen if you keep talking?
I'm not even thinking that far. I'm not imagining what's going to happen if I keep talking. I'm just, it's like as she talks, I'm just listening for the little bits of every moment that I can disagree with her. Mm-hmm. Just because I'm in that space. It's like I'm not in the headspace of imagining what's going to happen.
Yeah, and so there is something about being able to just say what you believe is true, mm-hmm. and just find a way to take apart what she's saying that gives you some satisfaction.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether she's ever going to agree or agree with you in the end.
I guess so.
It's kind of funny. We do it all the time.
Yeah.
All of us do this. And yet it doesn't actually result in any lasting satisfaction or any warmth in the connection. So let's see if we can do something a little different.
Okay.
The first thing that I would like to ask, and I would like to see which one of you feels, interested and curious in seeing what it would be like to have this conversation go differently.
I have a little bit of curiosity, but in my role, not very much curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really very positioned.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can be positioned in terms of your opinion, and still focused on mutual understanding. It's a kind of like a paradox. It's not about letting go of your position.
Mm.
It's about being open to the human connection that is underneath the positions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what about you? Do you have any interest?
I could try. Yeah.
Okay. So in order to try, the first thing is to suspend the question of who is right. Mm. It doesn't mean that you have to think that you are wrong.
Uh-huh.
It's just suspending the question of who is right and focusing your attention instead on what's important to you and what's important to her.
Okay.
So do you have a sense of what it is that's important to you? If you were to say, what's the core value in the name of which you're
choice.
Speaking? Choice.
Freedom of choice.
Okay.
I don't wanna be made to pay for something that I don't wanna pay for.
Okay. Mm. So that's your core value, is freedom of choice.
Yeah.
What's your best sense as to what is the value in the name of which she's speaking? And you don't have to agree with her. I think this is going to be like the mantra for today. This is not about agreeing or disagreeing. This is about understanding. What is behind her argument?
When you first asked me to do that, my first thought is she's a silly, idealistic,
mm-hmm.
you know, she wishes things were different. She's just silly and idealistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is your judgment of her.
Yeah.
And I am sure, without even checking with her, that she has judgments of you. And that uh-huh. doesn't help either one of you
mm-hmm.
understand each other or even win the argument.
Okay.
So the point is, are you willing to open yourself to being interested in what is the value? Even if it's unrealistic, even if it's naive, what is the value that she is holding? Do you have a sense? What's important to her?
Ease, making it easy for people to have access to health care.
Why is it important for her that people have access to health care? See, that kind of pause that Sylvia is having now is a very rich pause, because in that kind of pause we start doing things differently.
Mm-hmm.
You're thinking about something that you've never thought about before.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it feels very mind-bending.
Yeah. That kind of mind-bending is what can bring you together. See if you can stretch just a little bit further. And what it takes is imagining, not that this person is going to change their mind or not, or that she's right or not, but imagining that she is a decent, caring, thoughtful person just like you. And if so, what...
She just wants people to be well. She wants people to be healthy. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Do you see how different that is? So, now let's experiment. Let's have her say whatever she's going to say. And you just check with her. if you got it right in terms of what's important to her.
Okay.
It's important to her.
Okay. Okay.
Thank you for trying. So, speak.
So I...
You don't have to edit. Just say it exactly the way you said it before.
I think that healthcare is a universal human right and that everybody in the world should be able to have healthcare, come what may, regardless of cost.
So are you saying that because you want people to be well, that you really care about people?
I want people to have access to whatever medicine and medical needs they require in order to thrive. Yeah.
So you want to make sure people have the ability to thrive.
Yeah. And live. And get the medicine that they need in order to live.
So how was it to do it?
It was tough.
Yes. Was there any satisfaction in doing it?
Yeah, I mean, there was a little bit of like, well, I can respond, you know, how am I going to poke holes in that? And then there was also just some calmness in that kind of interaction,
mm-hmm.
different from the other kind. It was like, I slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how was it for you?
Oh, it was wonderful, actually. I really felt like she understood. So I felt a sense of satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is a way, however small, that this brings you a little closer to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is, I think, but I want to check with you, it's not that you don't care about people or people's well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You do. You wouldn't create a whole system around just that value, but it's not like you don't care about people.
Well, I do care. Yeah, I care about people.
Yeah,
I actually think that the system where we have to work hard to, you know, and pay for our own actually brings people up.
Yeah, so it's a different way of caring for
people. It's a different way of caring for people.
Yeah, it's kind of like inviting them into self-responsibility.
More people are wealthier in this country than they are in almost any other country, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but now you're speaking to a value of hers.
Mm-hmm.
And so you are kind of like searching for something together.
Mm-hmm.
When she hears that you get what's important to her and you speak to that, I think that the way that she said it, the last thing, you listened to it slightly differently, didn't you?
Yes. Well, I was able to listen to her.
Yeah.
And not kind of hold back her words.
Yeah. So there's this kind of paradox. When you listen to another person,
mm-hmm.
you open kind of like a channel between you. Mm-hmm. And once that channel is open, the other person can hear you more also.
And then we were talking about the same thing, how to care for people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the value
just our different ways of thinking what's important about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else that you'd like to do in this from this direction?
You mean me listening to her?
Yeah.
No, I want to say my piece.
You want to be heard?
Yeah.
So
it feels like if we don't complete that, mm-hmm. I've you know.
Yeah. So I'm glad you're bringing this up because it's really important. Sometimes people, when they hear this piece about listening, they get afraid that means they have to let go of themselves. And mm-hmm. this is not. For real connection to happen, requires both people hearing each other. Now, if you want to express what is true for you, let's think about what is going to make it the most likely for her to be listened, to be able to hear you.
It probably goes back to you asking me what my value was. So it's about freedom of choice that I want. I don't want to be strong-armed into doing something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'd like to choose when I, mm-hmm. you know, what to do with my money.
Mm-hmm.
So why is this? This was easier to hear, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at why is this easier to hear? It's two things that at least that I can see. One is you're talking about what's important to you,
mm-hmm.
so it makes it into a more personal connection instead mm-hmm. of some abstract thing out there, whenever it's an abstract
thing. It's un-American.
Yeah.
I see.
Then it's easier to hear. It's not oppositional. It's like, this is what's important to me, and it's an invitation. The other thing is that it's positive rather than negative. It's what you want, what's important to you. You're not saying, this is what's wrong with your position. Mm-hmm. And it's always easier to hear something positive, not positive as in nice, but positive as in what you want, what you're going towards, rather than what you are against. It's always easier. So, did you have a sense that she heard you this time?
Well, I don't know.
You don't know? Would you like to check?
Yeah. So how do I do that?
What could she do that would give you a sense that she heard you?
Well, I'll know by the next thing she says.
If you leave it to chance, she's likely to go back to her argument. And then you're not going to know if she heard you. Because she might be doing a silent yes, but. Mm-hmm. And what you want is the yes before the but. So let's just see if we can ask her, can you say in your own words what seems to be important to Sylvia?
I heard Sylvia say that what was important to her was that she got to choose where she put her money and that she also wanted people to be well.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Freedom of choice, you said, that was what was most important.
Mm-hmm. She got it.
And how does it feel?
It feels good. Yeah.
Now that she got it, and now that's interesting, does she have to agree with you?
Well, it'd be easier if she agreed with me.
But does she have to?
For
this to be able to just, you know, put down the argument.
Well, we can discuss. I mean, it seems more like a discussion now. Uh-huh. There's more. Yeah. It's more interesting to continue on if we wanted to keep talking about it, because it's more like, it's just more meaningful to talk about it this way.
Because
before we were just yelling at each other.
Yeah, and I'm thinking also that just like, when she was saying that the value that she is holding is, you know, care for everybody's well-being, that I was sure that that is also something you care about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also equally sure that freedom of choice is something that's important to her. Let's check. Is freedom of choice important to you?
Mm-hmm. Very important to me. Autonomy is very important to me.
So that's one of the other benefits that you get from going to the deeper level of the values, which is more often than not, you will find that you have shared values with people whose opinions you disagree with. And ultimately, what I'm hoping is if you continue to talk like this, then you can explore the question, what can we do that honors freedom of choice and care for everyone? And then you're discussing something together. Anything else either one of you would like to add in this moment?
Well, what I just heard you say was that often people share values, but it's the opinions that conflict.
The opinions may or may not conflict, but even under conflicting opinions, there could be completely shared values.
And that once you identify the shared value, then it's harder to have conflict?
Then it's harder to argue and be at each other's throats. Then you can really stay on the course of looking together for what can we do that honors both of the values. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else, Sylvia, that stands out to you before we end?
The yes, but really stood out to me. That if I don't check, I might just be getting the but.
Yes.
That she won't necessarily say the yes.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you want the yes,
you gotta
fish
ask for
it,
the yes.
Ask for it.
Yeah.
Get that satisfaction.
Yeah.
And then you also will have more room for the but.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, let's take a little break. And when we come back, we'll come back. There will be another person in the studio. And we'll have a situation called Nothing Here I Can Eat.
I'm hungry, and I've got some honey, and it feels good in my mouth.
Hi, welcome back to the Conflict Hotline. Again, if you'd like to join us, you can call at 510-848-5483. And with us is now Jared. Welcome back, Jared. I guess you had a good enough time last month.
Yep.
And Jared is going to play Ned. And Sigal is going to play Ned's mom. And the rest will be self-explanatory.
Mom! Look, there's nothing, that you haven't made anything that I can eat.
What? What's wrong with this food?
What do you mean, what's wrong with the food? Look, what do you see? That's chicken, that's beef, that's dairy. I don't eat meat, I'm a vegan. How many times do I have to tell you I'm a vegan?
I don't know what you're talking about. What you've got to eat this food. You're being ridiculous. I mean, this is very normal food. You can't go without eating your protein and your dairy.
It's a proven fact that vegans get plenty of protein from sources that are not from animals. Human beings are the most evolved creatures on the planet. You'd think at this point we could live in harmony with the rest of the world.
Ned, this is the food that's here. You're going to make this food. It's unnatural what you're doing by not eating this food. So
thank you.
You're going to eat it.
Thank you. How often have you had this conversation?
Nightly.
And how successful has it been for either of you?
Unsuccessful.
Ready to try something different?
Yes. As long as I can get something to eat in this house, I'm willing to try anything.
It's kind of like yes under duress.
Yeah, it's desperate. I mean, obviously I have other options available to me, but I would like to have dinner with my family and also live within my values. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, I get a sense that there's a lot of frustration and despair for you about this.
Is it frustration? It doesn't feel like frustration. I think I choose to eat this way and live this way out of a great sense of hope, actually.
Yeah. But in terms of being able to get the food that you want when you go to visit your family.
Aggravating, yeah.
Aggravating.
Yeah.
Well, he's just making these ridiculous choices. I mean, no, there's no native indigenous people on this earth that didn't eat, you know, animal products.
I don't see gorillas milking cows a glass of milk.
Hang on a second. We're not in the argument right now. Right now, I'm just working with Ned here to see what it would take for you to open your heart to the concerns of your mom. Because right now, what I'm seeing you doing is you are fighting.
Yeah, we're definitely fighting. I cannot open my heart to my mother right now until there's at least a salad on the table. Like, I need some admittance of or acknowledgement of my beliefs and my values before.
There's potatoes.
That's true. There are potatoes. I guess it's more than just.
I think Mom doesn't know that we're having this conversation not in front of her.
All right, I'll stop. Please help us. Help him understand.
That's why I was thinking that there might be some real despair here, because for as long as it's hard for you to open your heart, it's hard to transform the situation.
Yeah, that lands, absolutely. Or at least it hasn't transformed yet, and I haven't felt very open-hearted.
Yeah. So this is kind of like a really critical point to recognize, which is that when our heart is not open, we're likely to repeat the behavior that we have done that has kept the conflict in place. And so the question is, again, what would you need? What kind of support would you need? Not from her. She's not going to give it to you right now.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of support do you need from inside or from me right now before you're ready to face this conversation with an open heart?
I don't know. I really don't know where I would begin. It's so unimaginable to me.
So then if you can't open your heart to her, the other way to approach this is to remove yourself from the content of the conflict and shift to where you're connecting with her as human to human about what the experience is like of being in your shoes. So it's something like, whether or not you agree, whether or not I'm doing the right thing or the wrong thing, I just want you to take a moment to imagine what it's like to come home and not have something that works for me to eat. Can you open your heart to that? And
what it's like for me?
Yes, you talk about that and you invite her to listen to you. But you can only invite somebody to listen to you by talking about your experience rather than about facts.
Right.
She's not going to see your experience from you talking to her about human beings living in harmony with nature. That's just not going to go.
Right. So something about how strongly I value these beliefs and how physically painful it is to have these beliefs and to come home and not find nourishment or food available.
It's not even about the beliefs. It's about whatever the reason is that you don't eat something, to come home and all you find on the table is something that you don't eat. Just how hard that is, just that momentary experience.
Mm-hmm. So just how...
Yeah.
I mean, it's painful. It's painful. My stomach growls. That my body hurts when I come home and there's nothing that I can eat.
Yeah. That's on the hunger level, but it's also painful emotionally.
It's painful emotionally. Particularly painful to come home to mother and you know, imagining that that this is a place of
nourishment
to not.
Yeah.
Cannot be able to eat. Yeah.
So can you, in all truth, remove any sense of blame from that?
No, not easily. There's so much expectation, I guess, is what I'm connecting to now. Like just a sense of entitlement or... The way I believe the world ought to work is that home is a place where I can eat, no matter who I am, that I can be accepted no matter who I am, no matter what choices I make.
Yeah, so all you need to do is, instead of having it as what ought to be, sharing it as what's important to you.
Food is really important to me?
Food and being able to come home and be accepted.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Food, it's more than accepted, it's treasured, it's supported. So, home being a place of nourishment and home being a place of you know, not just acceptance of who I am, but celebration of who I am.
Yeah, and you probably will need to say several times throughout that sentence to re-invite her to look at your experience regardless of what the reason is for why you're eating the way that you're eating. Without, regardless of whether that reason is making sense to her or not, just to try to imagine what it's like for you, and let's see how that works.
Okay. Mom.
And you didn't hear anything that we said so far.
Wow, it's really hard to tell you this. I guess I have something that's really hard for me to share with you. Are you in a space where you can listen to it?
Of course.
That's really re-encouraging. Thank you. I guess I just want to get out and say it. It's really painful for me when I come home and there's nothing for me to eat. I'm worried now that you're about to say, there is something for you to eat. You can eat this, you can eat that. So I'm trying not to blame you. And I'm just trying to express how painful it is for me to come home and not have anything to eat. I don't know where to go from here.
Okay, before going or not going, I just want to check with you. If my assumption is correct, that is, however hard it is easier to hear this than to hear an accusation about the food being wrong.
Instead of being defensive, I'm just confused.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
I'll take confused over defensive any old day, wouldn't you?
Me too, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, but she's giving you a clue. If she's confused, there's something that she's not getting.
Yeah. So, Mom...
So you can ask her what she's confused about.
All right, when we were in role play, did I hear that she was confused?
No.
Ah. So, Mom, does that make sense to you, what I just said?
Not at all. There's plenty of for you to eat here.
Yeah, no, I thought you were going to say that. So it has to do with just how important it is to me to be vegan, how important it is to the values I really hold around that.
So the task that you have is to make it clear to her why, without getting sucked into defending those values.
Yeah. So, whether we agree or disagree on my values, I guess I just want you to hear how awful it is, how painful it is for me to come home, and home of all places, your house of all places, the house that I was raised in, and... not be welcome for exactly the way that I am, for the choices I've made in my life. Does that leave you as confused as before, or does that make a little more sense?
Well, that's very hard for me. That's very hard for me because I am your mother and my job is to take care of you. And at the same time, to hear that you're not accepted and celebrated for who you are, I mean, that's not what I want to do.
So what is happening is painful, but connected. Mm-hmm. And what was happening before, those endless arguments about whether or not a vegan diet is the right diet, those were painful and disconnected.
Mm-hmm. 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 Yeah. It's strange how while the first disagreement didn't get us anywhere, it was far less like vulnerable or uncomfortable. I mean, it was almost easier to be angry and irritated than it is to have this different sort of pain that I'm experiencing now.
Yeah, which is probably why for so much of the time that's what we choose to do.
Yeah, it's like a stab in the heart for me to hear that I don't celebrate you exactly as you are.
But you also recognize that it's true.
A small part of me does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it is that holds the hope that you might find something that you can both live with.
Mm-hmm. Like black beans, maybe.
Before you get into the actual food.
Right.
It's like finding some way that you can relate to each other through this pretty fundamental disagreement about food. It doesn't get a whole lot more basic than food.
Yeah.
If you have a disagreement there, how are you going to figure out a way to stay connected? And it's kind of like the message that you want to send across is whether or not you agree with me, this is where I am. Would you make it easier for me to come eat with you? And we can have the conversation, but please, I want to be able to eat when I come home while things are where they are. Are you willing to accommodate me? Feels very different from you should accommodate me because I'm right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That again, I'm feeling that same sense of just kind of awkward, painful vulnerability, and yet at the same time it resonates really deeply. Like yes, that would have more connection, but painfully so.
Mm-hmm. What's going on for you?
So much. It's like, you know, there's so much tied up in you and me being your mom. There's so much. It's so hard to separate. So there's some, it's like I get to this point where it's like, no, it's non-negotiable. This is what you're eating. And then I just see, I just realize that that's what he's talking about.
Yes.
Wow. Hearing you say that's really, like, relieves me a lot. That you named recognizing that is really brings a lot of relief for me.
But it's really hard to let go. It's really hard for me to let go of being in control of what's good for you.
And now, I'm wondering if now there's room in you to hear her.
Yeah, lots. Lots.
Yeah.
Yeah, hearing that it was a struggle for you, that you recognized it was for me and that there was, knowing there was an inner conflict in you, really opened up my heart a lot. To the sense that you were wrestling with something. And that what you were wrestling with was partly me, was partly my values and my concerns, and then partly what I heard is your desire for my well-being and for control over my well-being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, just as much as we were working to invite her to see your experience of not having something that you can eat based on how you're eating, I want to invite you to the experience of here is your son, and he's doing something that you think is unnatural and harmful. And then on top of that, he's asking you to support it, and you care about him. What a tear.
Wow, yeah. I mean, she's wrong, but yeah, I understand.
The real breakthrough happens when we can really step out of who is right and who is wrong and look at what is really going on here at the level of the relationship.
Yeah, yeah, that's really challenging.
Yeah.
And particularly with this topic, so much is at stake. Like like
she'll
you said
give
before.
You steak.
The steak's right here.
right.
No. But so much is at stake for both of us.
Yeah. That's what was hard to see before, but I have a lot more clarity about that now.
Yeah. And so this also brings up another thing that is. Can help people a lot is have the conversation not in the moment when it is the high stakes moment.
So not at dinner.
Not at dinner, talk about dinner. You know, some other time when you talk, one of you can bring it up. Let's talk about what happens at dinner. But you're not like right there in front of it, so you can have a little bit more space. How can you move through this with care for both of you? Do either of you have any thoughts about what you can do?
You mean strategies for what we can do? Well, I'm open. I'm curious to continue talking about the actual values with you. It's going to be hard for me to let that go. But I understand that a better time to talk about that wouldn't be as we're eating. And I'm happy for you to tell, you know, I can make some beans. I'm happy for you to tell me what you want, or maybe you can come a little bit earlier and make something with me that you'd rather eat. I can't change my whole menu, you know.
Yeah,
that'll be too stressful for me. But if you want to come home a little earlier, then we can cook at the same time. And
That I'm really willing to do that. I think that would be a lot of fun, actually, and to your other point, I mean, I'd be happy to, if you're willing to do some reading, give you some literature about my diet and how it's healthy, just to give you some security or a sense that I'm not hurting
myself. This is not going to help.
Well, I've got some reading for you.
Yeah, this is not going to help.
But I'm not going to read what you want me to read.
Why would she read what you want her to read if you won't read what she wants you to read?
Because I'm right.
What do you think she thinks?
That she's right.
How does that help either one of you to connect?
So I guess the strategy that would be more effective would be for me to come over and cook some food with you that I'm willing to eat.
And really concentrate on how to make things work between the two of you. And when there is enough of a bridge, then you can start sharing information. Right now, information is divisive. Hmm. Either direction that information goes, it's divisive.
Hmm. God, my heart sort of sinks hearing that, because so much of my hope for the world I want to live in is in getting people to consider veganism more seriously and compassion for other living creatures more seriously. So that somehow that's divisive is just devastating.
It's not the value that is divisive. It's giving information when there isn't a flow of mutual trust. It's kind of like if you come home and you cook together for a while and she eats your food and likes it, there might be curiosity. Conversely, if you work together and eat together and there is flow and ease, he might be open to hearing from you too. The key is to stay away from the information until you have established mutual trust. Mm-hmm. Cool?
Yeah, hard, really challenging, but what you're saying makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay, so let's take another break.
Sure.
And when we come back, we'll take a dip, just a dip into another hot topic, and that is going to be called Who's for Peace?
Thoughts in my mind, come in, come in, come in. Illusion will rise and illusion will fall. And I'll still be here at the end of it all. In the sea of love, I melt like salt. My faith and my doubt both dissolve. In the sea of love, I melt like salt. My faith and my doubt both dissolve. It open and find the seed. Break the seed open and what do you see? Nothing. Oh, Rupa, Rupa, the form of it all. Thoughts in my mind, come in, come in, come in. Though illusion will rise.
Hi, welcome back. This is Miki Kashtan. We are with the Conflict Hotline, and our current situation is called Who's for Peace? And Jared is going to be playing David, and Sigal is going to be playing Yael, and both of them are members of a dialogue group about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict.
So I'm curious, in light of recent current events, if you still hold the belief that occupation of the West Bank and in fact development of houses there is serving the peace in the Middle East?
Absolutely, absolutely. That's the way that we, the Jews, are going to be able to have some sense of safety.
Safety. This is completely destroying the diplomatic process. Israel is at risk of abandoning itself with its primary ally, the United States of America, that has stood by it in all of its decisions.
You know what's destroying the diplomatic process? Arabs teaching hate to their children.
It's not a
That's what's destroying the diplomatic
process.
If you
have people occupy your homeland and then build houses on top of it.
I know what it's like. Well, my ancestors know what it's like to have occupation.
Thank you. Either one of you having any sense of being heard?
I hear myself.
I hear myself.
And how does it help in terms of...
I sound good.
You sound good. You like yourself.
I have some clarity about what's important to me.
So let's remember, you are here in a dialogue group. What is dialogue? Let's take a moment and think about what is dialogue. And what I like is a lot of the thinking that Martin Buber did about dialogue, and essentially how he defines dialogue is a willingness, not defines, but describes dialogue as a willingness to not know the outcome, a willingness to be affected by what the other person says. And what instead happens is almost always we expect the other person to change without being willing to change ourselves. Mm-hmm. Honestly.
That's where I'm coming from.
And you?
Well, I'm not going to change on this matter, so yes, I would say that's where I'm coming from too.
And you still, despite this, you are expecting the other person to change, even though you know you're not going to change. So for me, there's something very humbling about this. If I want to embrace dialogue, it means for me opening myself to the other person rather than closing and defending. This is an application of Gandhian principles of making myself available. I mean, he was doing it in a different framework, but it is the same principle. Mm-hmm. I'm opening myself to the humanity of the other person. I am bringing my undefended self. So, the acute example for me of this happened when she said, what is interfering with the peace process is the Arabs teaching their children to hate the Jews, or something like this. I don't remember the exact words. And when I heard this, when I hear this, I am hearing in it the extraordinary pain that this person has. Just imagine what it's like to know that people, for whatever reason, are teaching their children to hate you. Wouldn't that be painful? So that pain gets spoken and drops. Instead, there is an argument going back. Mm-hmm. So if I were in her shoes, expressed anything that is painful for me, and instead I'm being argued with, I'm only going to be entrenched in my position. So if you could just, if we can kind of like rewind to that moment and have you express that line again and find your way to acknowledge the pain before saying anything else, let's see if that changes anything.
Okay. So you know what's derailing the peace process is Arab teaching their children to hate in schools.
It's painful for you that imagining that children are being taught to hate people, hate you.
It's just unspeakable.
It's unspeakable.
So I'm curious, are you opening your heart?
No, not really.
Would you consider?
Would I consider opening my heart?
Mm-hmm. Just to really get that pain, even without having to agree with anything, just to get the pain of that experience.
It would help if, you know, it was more about her. Like, it feels a little abstract to me. Like, were you taught to hate?
No, because I'm not going to the schools that Palestinian children are going to.
So, see what I'm saying? It's like, who, you know, that's not my experience. I'm really for the peace process. I grew up in the United States. Like, so I don't, if I were to believe that were true, then.
So it doesn't matter if it's true or not. The pain has nothing to do with what's true. The pain has to do with what her experience is. And given that this is the information that she has, just can you imagine how painful that would be? And really imagine it and really open your heart to it.
You wanted me to imagine how painful it would be to grow up someplace where your neighbors were being raised to hate you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine it would be really frightening.
Now, this time it sounded like he was really getting it, and did you feel that?
Mm-hmm. Getting there.
And how does it feel inside to be heard for something that is so painful for you, even a little bit?
It's the beginning. Yeah, it's the beginning of just the getting a validation of my experience. That's the very beginning of it.
Mm-hmm. And how was it for you to do this?
It was a stretch. I needed that coaching from you.
And was it worth it?
Yes. Somehow the word pain didn't really make sense to me,
but the
frightening.
Fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
how
more
frightening
fear.
It would be.
Yeah.
I remember now being, what opened my heart or started up my heart was imagining being young and just being afraid of, you know, going someplace for fear of bullies or something like that.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
How
finding something in your own experience to relate to this.
Yeah, how frightening that is.
Yeah. And obviously we are, you know, close to wrap up in a couple of minutes. But I just wanted to say, especially around issues that are so charged, like the Israeli-Palestinian issue, you know, tends to really bring up a lot of intensity. Being able to really hear the pain and the fear opens the possibility for connection, because without it, one or the other, or everybody feels forced, feels misunderstood, and the fear and the intensity just rise up. Just listen to these conversations. They tend to escalate until somebody runs out of the room, etc. So that I'm just, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like seeing this as planting a little seed for the possibility that you might be able to hear each other, because there's also a lot of pain there that we haven't mm-hmm. really mm-hmm. touched into. Mm-hmm. Anything quick that you want to say about this before we end?
I mean, just with both dialogues, I was getting a real sense of you inviting me to not listen so much to what she was saying and really listen more to what her feelings were and what
yeah.
was underneath there. And that's, it's hard to do in the moment, but I could see the value in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel the value when you did that, of being more open to having a meaningful discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I'm really in this moment kind of like very alive with how fruitless it is to try to convince someone of anything mm-hmm. when there's so much fear going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow, yeah.
Yeah. Anything else that stands out for you from the show, from any of the conversations that you participated in?
Not at the moment.
Yeah, I have a lot to think about. So it's mm-hmm. been informative for me.
And the other thing that is really alive for me is just how difficult it is to separate the opinion and the content
yeah.
from the underlying connection and the values and the feelings, which is where movement can happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
Thank you. And if you are interested in learning more how you can apply these kinds of skills in your life, you are welcome to come to our website at www.bayNVC.org or call 510-433-0700 to find out about training opportunities. There are trainings in different parts of the world, and if you are far away, you can go to nvctraining.com. That's the NVC Academy where you can learn online. And also please send us your feedback and scenarios and comments and anything to conflicthotline@baynvc.org. We love hearing from you. It really, really gives us a lot of fuel for continuing. And thank you, Jared. Thank you, Sigal. And thank you to Siobhan, who was here earlier. And also a lot of gratitude to the crew, all volunteer crew. And you are hoping you will join us again next month in May, the first Thursday, as in every month at 7:30. And until then, good night.
I am here to free you, yeah. Enemy, enemy mine, reveal me. true self.